Great. Good morning, everyone. Hello again. I see my daughter's flip-flops here. Just going to kick them that way, if you don't mind. They don't fit me as good as they look. Right. So, it's again a great privilege to look at God's Word with you this morning. It always is. So, thank you for being here and for being such a gracious church to let me look at God's Word with you. I want to start by asking a question. Who here wears glasses, spectacles, like eyeglasses? Yeah? Oh, quite a lot, actually. Well done. Who here loves going to the zoo? Who here has ever been to a zoo? Yes. Have you ever lost your glasses at the zoo? Anyone? Right? So, apparently, there's this story that goes... who does that look like? Don't answer that. Yes, it's a monkey. So there's this story that goes zoo officials at a zoo in Kirby, Misperton. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I think it's a town north of York. They had to pay visitors a lot of money for articles stolen by monkeys. But what really puzzled them was the monkey's favorite item to steal. It was eyeglasses, spectacles. And they couldn't quite figure out how or why. And so they did some investigation, and they realized that the monkeys steal the glasses when people lean close into the monkey enclosure to read the warning sign at the back on a small wall. And the warning sign read, "Beware, these monkeys steal glasses." It's funny, right? I find that ironic. But usually, warning signs are there, put there by someone who cares about someone else, to keep them safe, to keep them out of danger, right? If I was running at full tilt, which isn't that fast, but if I was running at full tilt into a wall, would you stop me? Would you warn me about... yes. I find that's a tentative answer. So therefore, I'm not going to try it. But I get the same sense of what Jesus does in today's reading. He knows Saul is headed in one direction, really passionately, really quickly, really zealously. And Jesus wants to warn him and say, oh, hang on, Saul. You're going too quickly and you're going the wrong way. And he does this because Jesus loves Saul. If Jesus didn't love Saul, Jesus would well have just left him to his own devices and let him go, right? Am I right? And the beautiful thing is that Jesus loves you and me too. Who knows the very famous verse, John 3, verse 16? Just put a hand up. Yes, lots of people do. Just let's say it out loud. It's on the screen. If you don't know it, here it is. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What a wonderful, beautiful verse. Who knows the next verse? Verse 17. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I see a couple of hands. Here it is. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's how God shows us his love. And that's how Jesus shows his love to Saul. You know, Jesus is all powerful, right? All knowing, all seeing, all around. And Saul at that time was, as the Bible verse said, breathing murderous threats to the people following Jesus. Jesus would have been well within his rights and well capable of just wiping Saul aside. Just getting rid of him, getting rid of the problem, right? But he doesn't because he loves Saul as he is. Jesus loves Saul, so he gives him a second chance. So the transformed Saul that becomes Paul later on writes in Romans 5 verse 8 these beautiful words. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Saul definitely knew a thing or two about being the enemy of Jesus Christ. Saul knew what it meant to be an enemy of Jesus Christ, albeit unknowingly, I think. But that didn't matter to God. Saul's attitude towards Jesus did not influence Jesus' love for Saul. Can we agree on that? Saul, or Paul, later writes in Romans 5, you can read it at home, about actually being enemies of God and Jesus loving them still. So, if Jesus can love Saul, Jesus can love me. Shall we say that out loud together? I'm going to count to three and then we say it out loud together. One, two, three. If Jesus can love Saul, Jesus can love me. Yes. But of course, if we had to stop the sermon there, or if we had to stop the talk or the whole day there, that would be a happy ending, wouldn't it? But the story doesn't end there. Jesus loves Saul, not just as he is, but he loves Saul enough to not leave him as he is. Saul is later transformed into Paul. And that, my friends, is what the redeeming love of Jesus Christ can do. He can take a person breathing murderous threats towards his own and turn them around and transform them into the most widely read authors in the history of time, in history. Right? You know Paul, the zealot previously known as Saul? Sounds like a cool band name, doesn't it? The zealot previously known as Saul. Paul wrote a large chunk of the New Testament that a lot of us are reading today, written by a man transformed from breathing murderous threats to loving and encountering Jesus. He can redeem and transform anyone. Anyone. Even me. Even you. If Jesus can transform Saul, Jesus can transform me. Let's say that out loud together. One, two, three. If Jesus can transform Saul, Jesus can transform me. Later on, Paul writes to the Corinthians these words, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." What a wonderful, wonderful promise. If Jesus can transform Saul to write these words, then Jesus can, and he wants to, transform you and I to look more like him too. Have you ever heard the story of the wedding Jesus attended? One of the first things he did. Yeah, he took a couple of large jars of water, and what did he do with it? He transformed it into wine. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and that a young child gave him, and he transformed that into a feast for 5,000 plus people. Jesus can take anything and anyone and transform them or it into something useful. And that's exactly what it is like when we are loved by Jesus and transformed by him. It's not just the end of the story there as well. It's not just about that. It's not just about being transformed. Jesus uses whatever we have to be useful in his kingdom. Jesus used whatever we have to be useful in his kingdom. You know, Paul, or Saul, was a really learned scholar. He was an academic of sorts. He was a really religious guy, following the law, knowing the law off by heart. He was really passionate about it as well. And even though that was important to him before encountering Jesus, that's not why Jesus chose him. Jesus just loved him. Can we agree on that? It's not because who Paul was that Jesus loved him. Jesus just loved him because that is what Jesus does. That is who Jesus is. Jesus loves each and every one of us as we are. But he also transforms us. And then he uses what we have to build his kingdom. One of the first things, if you read the rest of Acts 9, one of the first things that Jesus does, not Jesus, that Paul does after he's transformed and prayed for by the disciples, is he goes into the synagogues and he starts teaching the Jewish people there. The synagogues where he would have been known and respected, where he may have taught before, where he had some standing in his previous life, breathing murderous threats to the Lord's people. And he starts teaching them about Jesus. What a transformation. Jesus uses what Paul had, all his knowledge, all his accolades, all his prestige, all his zeal, and he changes it into something to build God's kingdom. I find that fascinating. I find that fascinating because it's almost like God knows what he's doing. Right? It's almost like God knew this would be useful if I changed Saul into Paul. But that's not why he loved him. He loved him as he was, just as he was. But even then, Paul later recognizes that all his accolades, all his prestige, all his knowledge, all his religious fervor and zeal meant nothing, actually. He writes to the Philippian church, he writes these words, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." All of Saul's accolades, his accomplishments, his religious beliefs, his religious fervor meant nothing to the transformed Paul. Knowing Jesus became the most important thing to Paul. Knowing Jesus became the most important thing to Paul. Not what he knew about Jesus, not what he knew about God, not what he knew about religion, not what he knew about the Bible in those days, not what he knew about his own life or his own love or his own ministry. Here's the thing. To get to know Jesus and learn to love him more every day is the most important thing that you and I can do. Getting to know Jesus and learning to love him better and love him more every day is the most important thing that you and I can ever do in our whole life. It's much more, it's much better than getting to know of Jesus. It's much better than getting to know what it says in the Bible. It's much better to getting to know world politics or economics or whatever it is. It's much more important to know Jesus than to know anything or anyone else. So let's say these words together. I'll say the top line, you reply with the bottom line. If knowing Jesus can make Paul useful, knowing Jesus can make me useful. I'm going to say it again. If knowing Jesus can make Paul useful, everyone, knowing Jesus can make me useful. Keep in mind at this point that we are not just loved so that we can be useful in God's kingdom. That's not the end game. That's never been God's end game or Christ's end game. Apologies for that interruption. My son just showed me what my birthday cake is going to look like. He drew a picture. The thing is, God doesn't love us just so that we can be transformed and be useful in his kingdom. God loves us to love us. God loves us because that's who he is. So I think if I can sum up this whole story of Saul being transformed into Paul, being loved by Jesus and then transformed into Paul and then being useful in God's kingdom, it's this. Jesus calls every single one of us. That's you and you and you and you and you and me. He loves every single one of us. Therefore, he calls every single one of us and he can equip everyone that he has called. He can equip and transform everyone he loves. I'm going to finish with the words from Philippians, Paul's words from Philippians, and it's just sort of an extended version. So if you want to close your eyes and you just want to listen to them, that's fine. They won't appear on the screen. I just find this fascinating. And this is sort of my prayer for you and for me today. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you give us another chance now, right now, in this place, to turn to you again, to heed your warnings, to follow your voice into safety and freedom, to be loved, to know love, and to be transformed by your love. Lord, may we live lives honoring you and the love you have for us, to the glory of your name alone. Amen. Amen.